Kick-Ass Vets, sharing tips to help empower you to take control of your career.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Today, we are very lucky to have Dr. Maddie with us. Maddie is a new grad, graduating not too long ago. And today she's going to talk to us about her experience, you know, through final year vet school, in the emotional roller coaster that it is of looking for jobs, trying to get a job, which job should I pick, are there lots of jobs, are there not a lot of jobs, that kind of stuff. Because I know it's a really, really stressful time for new graduates. So thank you for joining us. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your background history in the vet world to start off?
Yeah, sure. Well, I went from doing an undergrad in science. I wasn't really quite sure what I wanted to do at that stage. I got to my final year and realised, yeah, that was what I wanted to do. By that stage, I guess because I hadn't known what I wanted to do, I hadn't kind of worked hard enough to get the grades to get into vet, which was unfortunate. So, I did vet nursing. I went around and did as much farm, you know, work as I could, kind of to boost my my vet resume, I guess.
Yeah.
Got vet. 6 years later, I started out wanting to do wildlife practice. In the first couple of years, I was really, really keen on it. And then, you know, life happens and you kind of, your interests change. And then by the end of it, I was like, I love cattle. I want to do cattle. I don't want to stop doing everything else. So I'm in mixed practice. But yeah. Cattle turned out to be the big selling point for me, so mixed practice it is.
So you did an undergrad in science and didn't know from the get-go that you wanted to be a vet. I'm similar to that, different from the majority of people who grew up wanting to be a vet. What made you decide vet med versus the other career options out of science?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because when I was a kid, like a really little kid, all I wanted to be was a vet. And then I don't know what happened, why that slipped away, just no idea. But my parents always wanted me to be in something like medicine. So I kind of got into, you know, the thought of, oh, maybe medicine is what I want. Loved science, loved health science. So, I mean, that was probably a bit of a starting point. And I just was never really fully sold on the human medicine side of things.
Humans are gross.
What was that?
Humans are gross.
They are. They're really gross. I even considered dentistry at one stage, and I did a 1 week work experience at a dentist and was like, ugh. People's mouths all day. Yeah. But yeah, and then yeah, that final year, I don't know what it was, I was having a conversation with my aunt, and she reminded me that she always saw me being a vet because it's all I used to talk about. And I was like, oh my God, I could see that. That's what I want to do. So that was that, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Are you glad you did it? Are you glad so far you went down that path?
Oh, definitely. Now I just can't. I can't imagine having done anything else.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd be happy doing anything else. So, yeah, really, really happy that I actually pushed through. And it was a long haul, and I consider myself reasonably old for a graduate, but
you're probably on par with most of the people in North America, because we graduate older because we have to have an undergrad first. So it's most of the people here are like, oh, I'm 5 years out. I'm like, you're like 2 years old. How are you the same years out as I am?
That is how I feel.
Yeah, it's fine. You're just on par with half of the world, so don't feel bad.
Yeah, cool.
So when I met you, so I was lucky enough to work with Maddie. She was working in a nurse component in her final year of studies, and I watched her go through this little emotional roller coaster a bit of, I'm not going to find a job, I'm not going to be, you know, not confident going out into the world, I hope that someone employs me. And then we had a little chat about how there's lots of job options. And then I saw her, I think about a month or so later, and you were like, oh, well, I'm applying for this, and I'm applying for this, and I'm applying for this, and I want a job that has this, 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 this. And it was just a complete shift of, I think you just probably starting to look in the workforce, realizing there's jobs, and then you were very particular about what job you wanted. So how did that journey go along once you started looking for jobs, and what happened in that month to have that drastic change of emotion and opinion about it?
Yeah, I think I just hadn't really, I mean, vets who you work with always tell you, you know, like it's an applicant's market. You know, you're never not going to find work because there's always a deficit of vets. But I don't think you really believe it when you're in your final year and there's all that kind of anxiety. But then as soon as I started looking, it was so true, you know, everywhere was, you know, searching for a new graduate. It just became easier and easier to kind of picture getting something that I wanted. And like you said, it kind of went from this thing of, you know, I was like, am I going to find the type of job I want at all? To, oh my gosh, I have all these options. I can actually pick and choose. I didn't actually get rejected from anywhere that I applied.
Good.
I got...
That's a confidence booster.
I applied multiple places. I've interviewed at all of them. Made the effort to go out and do physical, you know, in-person interviews with all of them.
Good.
Besides one, which was a really scary Skype interview where there were three other people looking at me. But everyone was, you know, really keen on getting someone. And I think the fact that I started early as well, they kind of thought, you know, oh, well, this person's really keen to jump straight into things. I ended up having heaps of choices, and I kind of was just able to say, you know, well, oh, this has more of the kind of things I'm looking for versus this one, and they all had their pros and cons, and, it was actually pretty, pretty amazingly good, a lot better than I was thinking initially.
That's awesome. So I have a few questions for you about the process. I know when you're trying to decide which one, you had mentioned to me something about the first thing you did was look at their schedule. So you said you went out and tell our viewers about the schedule, because that was a really big thing for you in terms of learning what your caseload would be.
Yeah, definitely. I think that was probably the best thing that I could have done. I would ask, so normally how the interviews went, at least, I mean, I didn't interview at any city practices, any small animal practices. I mainly interviewed at quite rural mixed practices. So I don't know if the interview process is different in the city, but for me at least, it wasn't so much a formal interview as it was kind of meeting the team, being shown around the clinic. You sit down and have like a nice little cup of coffee and, you know, ask a couple of questions back and forth, but it was really informal. And a lot of the time I'd be asked if I wanted to go out with, say, the head vets on some calls and all that kind of stuff, just see how we work together in the field, and they could assess kind of my skills a little bit, I guess. But one of the things that I did ask when there was a bit of, downtime was, would you mind if I look in your scheduler? And I'd look back the last, say, 2 months or so, and kind of check out what their species-to-species caseload was, because that was a massive thing for me, obviously, because of the whole cattle passion and everything. I wanted to be somewhere that did have a decent amount of cattle work. Having a bit of, variety as well, so a bit of dairy, a bit of beef, occasional horse, you know, that was kind of like what I was looking for. That as well, seeing what kind of surgeries clinics are doing. So I know a lot of clinics closer to cities tend to do a bit less of the interesting kind of, you know, I guess a bit out there, you know, orthopedics, advanced soft tissue surgeries and stuff, because obviously, you know, it's gold practice to refer to a specialist, but I kind of liked the idea of mixed practice where you're that far out where, you know, you probably will get taught to do these things. Those were the two good things about the scheduler. You could also kind of assess how busy individual vets are, because if you see, you know, like just a hectic wall of staff, you might be like, well, you might want to ask the practice manager, well, will this be me starting out? Am I going to have, you know, a consult every 10 seconds to work through? Or 10 minutes, rather.
Feels like every 10 seconds.
Yeah. Sometimes it feels like that, but it's a good way to kind of broach the conversation of, you know, is there going to be a little bit more time allocated to me to start out so that I can you know, do my diagnostics and my cytology and just kind of work through a case, and hopefully, you know, get a bit of time to learn from the other vets along the way. So
yeah.
I think definitely ask if you can see the scheduler. I don't think no one had a problem with it. No one kind of seemed a little bit uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd imagine if they're completely comfortable to show you their scheduler, then, you know, they're not hiding anything. So
I think if you went to a job and they refused to show me the scheduler, I would run in the other direction as fast as my legs could take me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, so that was good.
Yeah. What other things were you looking for in terms of jobs? What were your, you know, top priorities in finding a position?
Probably besides I think I had two really, really big ones, and all the others were probably I make concessions for. And the two big ones were, like I said, the caseload, so getting a bit of all species, and also the team, because working in an environment where everyone's friends and everyone gets along, I think just makes or breaks your day at work.
Yeah.
So that was the other major deciding factor for me. And it's so cool because, I mean, it's good to be able to spend a couple days at a clinic to get a feel for that kind of thing. All the clinics I was looking at, that wasn't really possible. Like, I could spend maybe one day, but considering I was still at uni and it was kind of a weekend thing, just driving out to these places and then coming back meant that I could only really spend one day at each. And honestly, one day, even if that's all you can get, is still enough to get a really good feel of the dynamic of a place. Like, I interviewed at one particular clinic that was amazing, you know, like gold standard, heaps of work that I'd be really interested in. But as soon as you walked in, you just get that air of, there's a bit of tension here and I don't know if these people are enjoying their day kind of thing. And you can tell it so easily because you go around and talk to different staff members and you talk to the receptionists and the nurses and the vets, and it's pretty easy.
Are there particular questions that you would ask to try to get a feel of if people were happy? Did you try to push the envelope in terms of having conversations with the reception staff and the nursing and the vets?
Most of the time I didn't really push that conversation too much. Most of the time, if I got a good feel, then I just kind of, you know, went with that. But with that one place where I didn't get a great feel, I did ask a couple of the team members about, you know, how do you guys feel that you run as a team? You know, do you all get along? That kind of thing. And the answers were even more telling. So I think when people are completely forthright with, yeah, there are a couple of problems, then that's like a hard, you know, steer clear kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then something I did also ask at all of the interviews of the vets was, you know, do you guys ever hang out outside of work, or do you ever hold little get-togethers, you know, events and all that? And a lot of the time they'd say, oh, yeah, we'll do, you know, from time to time. But then the thing I noticed with the place that I chose, they hang out outside of work all the time. And there's always little events going on, and, you know, every little staff, I guess, you know, life event, there's always going to be something where, you know, everyone brings in cake or everyone goes out for a night, you know, has a nice dinner. So it's really, really communal.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was looking for.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I'm glad you found that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I know. I think it's pretty rare to have that degree of it, but yeah, it was really good.
Yeah. It's good to know that what you want as well, because, you know, that might be having that level of community and interaction outside of work. Some people might love that. Some people might hate that and feel obligated, and when they leave work, just want to leave work. So it's good to know what you want going into it. So knowing that you wanted that level of community is probably helpful to look for it.
Yeah, and I think especially because all of the options I was looking at were going to be a really long move from all of my support networks and my boyfriend, and I would hate it to end up somewhere where there wasn't that kind of, I guess, supportive, friendly kind of work experience, because I would have then, you know, kind of been coming home alone and going to work alone, and it's just not ideal.
Yeah, you definitely are a far track from home. How would you say, a lot of people are hesitant to move for a job and move far away out of their comfort zone. How do you feel about that experience? Are you glad that you've done it? And, you know, what recommendations would you have for someone that, you know, has something that they want, but that job's far away?
Yeah, I think that was probably the one thing that I didn't take into account when I was job searching. I was kind of on this one-track path for, you know, perfect first job. Like, you want the perfect first job as a new graduate, but you're going to learn all the stuff and you're going to be supported by all your staff members. And I just didn't – I think I didn't take into account the whole distance thing quite as much as I should, because knowing myself, I am quite independent. But you don't realise how hard it is. You know, you can go on a month-long placement out to the middle of nowhere, and that's fine because, you know, it's a month. But if you don't think you can spend, you know, a good 2 or 3 months without seeing people, then I probably wouldn't recommend moving out more than, say, you know, 4 hours travel. That would have... Even 6 hours travel, you know, like that's combined flight and driving, is quite manageable.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when you go further than that, it gets a little bit taxing, and you do get quite lonely initially. So I think if I had changed anything about the way I searched for jobs, I would have just taken the distance into account a fair bit more.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. It's a learning opportunity, and to, like you said, there's a lot of pressure on new grads to find the perfect first job, and I think it is worth it to consider your first year out of school kind of as an internship. I took a job far away from my partner as well because it had the things that I wanted. It had ultrasound, it had in-house blood work, it had saw emergencies. And I was only 2 hours away drive, so nothing compared to, you know, having to do a flight to the drive. But it is hard, and if you have an idea of, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to learn, and I'm going to take that as a learning experience, I think it's good. But, yeah, you have to factor in life, especially if it's going to be kind of a long-term decision. Where my first job, I always knew it was going to be a year or two max, because I knew I wanted to go into Emerge, but I wanted to get my feet wet first. So I was like, okay, well, I can do it for a short period of time. But, yeah, it was harder. Even the 2 hours was harder than I expected, and I'm a pretty independent person, too. So it's amazing what you learn about yourself when you actually are forced to live alone.
It's so true.
Yeah.
So true. Yeah. Oh, unfortunately, yeah. You can think you're a really independent person, and then you just kind of go, oh, everything's gone.
Yeah.
Start from scratch. Yeah.
In terms of the interview process, how did that go? Were you nervous? How many interviews did you do? You know, kind of how was your experience with the whole interview scenario? Did you prepare for them? What did you do to prepare? That kind of stuff.
Yeah, I've always been one of those people who obsessively prepares for interviews. I think I'm quite good at in-person interviews, not so much at this like Skype stuff, but it went pretty well. I'd just drive out to wherever I was going, stay the night at a motel. Night before, I'd normally write out, or I'd already have written out, kind of the questions I could see being asked of me. You know, a lot of the time you're asked for, you know, I guess in the more formal interview settings, you're asked, you know, tell me about a time when, you know, you worked through an issue and blah, 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 you know, and
yeah.
You kind of make it bed related. Just try it, because it's hard to think back on scenarios in the moment.
Yeah.
Just kind of tried to rehash on all the little certificates and everything I've done along the way. Really, it just, it kind of, I almost feel like I got better when I got a little bit more lax from that attitude, because then everything's just a little bit more natural and a little bit more organic when you're talking to the potential employers. Helps to have a cup of coffee or like a tea or something like that in front of you. Just a bit of a distraction. But yeah, I think it's all just kind of the first impression, you know. Firm handshake, really good, like super good. I've been told by, like, had so many clients comment now, like, oh, you have a fantastic handshake. I like that. So,
and now for the next year, no one's going to know how good you are at handshakes.
being dressed presentably and, like, I suppose, what's that word? Appropriately for the kind of practice that you're applying for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't wear, you know, nice formal dresses, you know, semi-formal dresses or anything. I just wore, like, a really nice work top with belt and jeans and some nice boots, and that kind of really went quite well. Yeah, I guess just being, you know, coming with a couple questions of your own. I think everyone likes to kind of know that you're really keen to find out more about the job, and kind of shows that you're a bit more, you're not just kind of cruising around. You are looking for somewhere, you know, in the moment that you want to settle in.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was kind of the process that I went with. I don't know if I've missed out on some big things or anything.
No, it sounds pretty standard to most job interviews, I would say. Yeah, the kind of tell us the time when you worked through a difficult situation with an employee or with a client is a really common one. So having, and it's hard to come up with an answer on the spot, so having one of those prepped ahead of time. Were there any other questions that kind of took you for a loop? Like, did you have any really weird experiences or questions?
Like, I've worked in retail and nursing for so long now. A lot of those interviews were very structured like that, like those kind of tell me about a time, blah, blah, blah. I found a lot of the mixed practice interviews were a lot more, they were a lot more kind of practical and skill-based questions. So, you know, have you done much in the way of prep testing? Which scenarios were those? You know, beef, dairy. You know, what placements did you do in your last year? Why did you choose those? What did you like about those places? You know, kind of to get an idea of, I guess, what your goals are as a vet in mixed practice.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of the interviews where I did go out with the boss on farm calls and everything, I was kind of, there was never any pressure if I wasn't, you know, comfortable, but you know, they might ask, would you like to have a go at this? Or, you know, have you ever done this before?
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of them I said, you know what, actually, no, I haven't. And they just go, well, would you like to? I can talk you through it. So it was actually a lot of them were a learning experience as well as an interview.
Yeah.
And then a lot of them were just routine, you know, cattle medicine, you know, type things. So, you know, I'd do a couple, boss would do a couple. So... be prepared to possibly have a couple of little physical things put in there as well. I put a catheter in a dog at one of them, which was fine. You know, all little bits like that.
Mm-hmm.
Boss will walk you around the clinic and go, oh, Maddie, they're just about to put a catheter in this dog. Would you like to do that? So, yeah.
So they asked you to do it on... I've had one interview. I've been in a lot of places because we move, but I've only had one interview where I haven't physically done something. One of my interviews, a GDD came in, and so I was just like, okay, so we put a catheter in, set up a line, we're like getting ready to trocarize, the owner was hysterical, I took her out front, was talking to her, and then I ran the whole anesthetic, and that was the rest of my interview. Like, it's to be very...
Was that a new graduate interview?
No, that was when... that was here in Sydney, so that was like 4 or 5 years out in an emergency referral center. But
But my, even as a new grad, my interviews, I made sure that I did at least a week or two at every place that I interviewed. So I did them all as placements. But even when I went through the initial walkthrough and any places that I've done around in Australia afterwards, there's only been one where I haven't, you know, you're walking by, someone's dealing with a cat or a dog that's freaking out, you just, you know, go in there, help them, another hand, oh, you need that, grab that. So it's being ready to jump in and do stuff, I think, really shows bosses and potential employers, like, hey, I know what I'm doing, I'm happy to do this, I'm a team player, I can see there's a problem, and I want to help, and jumping in. So it's good that you're doing that on your interviews.
The job that I did go with was probably not the best one for the physical side of testing.
Yeah.
So clearly it wasn't too big of a deal, but I went out with my now boss to bleed about 80 cattle for export. You know, we were doing two at a time because the heifers were so small. We were kind of crushing two in at a time at the head bale, and just putting the kick gate behind them and you know, two tail vanes at once. And I missed about four of them. I was like, oh, it's right there. And I got a little bit frustrated at one stage. And I was thinking, oh man, I'm blown it with the boss. But it probably wasn't a big deal in the end.
Yeah. I think they know you're nervous, and they know, like, it's a lot. I don't think, you shouldn't have that pressure to be perfect. I think the biggest thing employers probably want to see is that you're keen to try, and if you fail, that you don't just stop, you keep going. And that attitude is more important. Say you've never put in a catheter before, the fact that you're keen to try and are willing to try and fail and, you know, do it again on the next dog is important, versus someone that just walks in and is perfect. Well, if they hit something where they can't do it and then they just quit, that's a worse personality type to have in a clinic. So you wouldn't worry too much.
Definitely want to have that attitude where you want to give things a go, mm-hmm. for sure.
Feel free to not comment on the next question. But in terms of salary, I know new grads are very concerned about what they're going to get in terms of salary and negotiations and all of that kind of stuff. How did you navigate that? I know that wasn't your top priority. You were much more focused on other aspects. But how did you find that whole process, and how did you approach it?
Like you said, I probably didn't think about that side very much. So I kind of had a range in my head of what new grads normally make, and I thought, well, I don't want to make that lower end. If it's anywhere between middle and upper, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure what kind of the upper bracket for new grads is these days, but from when I was looking, mine was between kind of middle and upper for what you can expect as a new graduate. So it didn't really faze me too much. I didn't, you know, I mean, I found out the salary. I was like, yeah, everything else is perfect. I don't mind too much at this stage, as long as there's time to grow in the future. So, not too much to say on that one, actually.
So they just offered a salary and you took it. You didn't discuss it all or say, you know, I was thinking this. You just said, okay, I'll take whatever.
Oh, well, I asked what the salary was and you know, what the perks were and everything. And all the perks were either on par or better than a lot of the clinics I'd spoken to. Mm-hmm. The salary was better than a lot of the clinics that I'd spoken to as well. I knew there were jobs going with better salaries, but they just weren't offering, you know, anywhere near what I wanted from my work life. Mm-hmm. I guess you have to weigh the options. So
you didn't even consider saying, how about a little bit more?
If I'm honest, I didn't. I was
that's okay.
I was so overwhelmed that I got the job. I didn't, like I said, I kind of had blinders on that I was like, this is the perfect job. Distance, everything else, I just want this job.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when I got the call, I actually, like, nearly cried because I didn't think I was going to get it.
That's awesome. Yeah, yeah. I think salary is obviously important. That's a huge part of the platform, is getting paid what you deserve. But as a new grad, I agree that if everything else, you know, to work in a crappy clinic where your boss isn't going to be supportive, where you're not going to get mentorship, where you have a crappy team, even if you get paid $30,000 more a year, that's not worth it. It's important to find what's a good clinic where you're going to grow into the vet that you want to be. You know, I think that everyone should always, you can always ask for more. The worst they can say is no, and it just kind of depends on location and that kind of stuff. But if you're happy with it, you're happy with it. You know, it's, salary is a very, it's a very black and white numbers thing. It should be, and on paper it is, but in reality it ends up being a very emotional thing, and sometimes it's not about the money. But, you know, definitely, if you're going to stay in that job, I would recommend every 3 months having a performance review and asking for an annual or even biannual salary appraisal, and see whether or not you should be increasing that, because the faster you can increase it, then future raises will be based on that. Obviously, right now, with all of the COVID stuff, it is more difficult, and we all have to be accommodating and understanding. And if you have a supportive clinic where, you know, I know lots of people are saying, yeah, I was supposed to get a raise this year, but if everybody keeps their jobs, I'd rather that than me personally get a raise. And I think we all need to adapt. You know, these are obviously huge times of change and uncertainty, and we're just lucky as vets to still have a job.
Exactly. Well, I feel so, so lucky that I still have a job in the face of everything right now. It's pretty astounding.
Yeah. And how's your clinic dealing with all of this? I've noticed a lot of clinics that have poor management have been slow on the uptake to put in measures and are kind of not being very supportive of staff that want to put in safety measures, where places with good management tend to be a lot more proactive and are focusing more on their staff safety and client safety. How's your clinic doing in terms of all of this?
I think we're doing quite well in the kind of the spectrum of what clinics are doing. I've been in self-isolation for a week now, just from a domestic flight, before all of the lockdowns. So, I haven't actually seen physically, but I have heard all the measures that we're taking now. We had a big, group, everyone in the clinic group meeting. I was on like someone's phone, still taking part, about all the measures that we can take. People were just so full of constructive, you know, like, we can do this, this, and this, and this. And I think most of those things have been taken on board now.
Good.
So there's more PPE, you know, like car park consults, someone, you know, allocated people bringing the pets into the clinic for the vets to see.
Perfect.
We're trying to kind of do a lot more over the phone before people even have to come in, if it's things where, you know, we're able to do so. I think trying to cut down on unnecessary, well, consults that can be put off for a little bit.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously things like nail clips, vaccinations, you know, besides, you know, critical vaccinations, all those kinds of things, just make room for the more more kind of need to see now patients.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah. And I think, I don't think anyone's sure how we're going to implement it yet, but we do want to start doing a sort of two split teams kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where, like, certain nurses and vets will only have contact with, you know, those.
Yeah.
Just kind of, I guess, as like a precaution. So
that's what all the clinics are doing. Yeah, that's what they're recommending, so that businesses can maintain function. If one cohort goes down, then the business can still be available for care. So it sounds like your clinic's being incredibly proactive. Are they proactive with their medicine as well? You know, that's another huge issue that new grads have, is they go out and a lot of bosses and owners and managers are like, this is the way I've always done it. They don't want to hear new stuff. How is your clinic in that sense? And did you do anything in the interview to kind of figure out how that dynamic would play out?
So, like, it sounds like all I'm saying is good, but I'm not just talking the place up. Like, I really found an amazing clinic. They are so, so progressive. We've got probably a split kind of vet ratio. We've got probably half a senior vets who have been in the business a long time, really knowledgeable, kind of done everything, been everywhere. And then the other half is all, you know, between 2 to 4 year out grads, you know, all kind of around my age. We're all, you know, we're kind of looking into the new research and trying to do things, you know, how university and other sources are kind of pushing. Mm-hmm. And it's actually so, so good.
That's awesome.
The clinic is very open to investing in anything that you think could better, I guess, the standards that we're performing. Anything that I've needed so far that I've been like, for example, for my car, if I've been like, oh, I think I can do this better if I have this, I simply just ask and they're like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. We can do that. We'll organize that. So
that's awesome.
It's, and I guess when I was doing the interview, I mentioned to them a couple of things I'd seen around the clinic that I was like, oh, wow, that's, I mean, little things, you know, but I'd be like, oh, wow, that's really cool. We had that at university. I haven't seen that elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just like little things. And I've mentioned that to the boss and he was like, oh, yeah, I guess that is pretty cool that we have that.
Did you ask any questions in the interview to see whether they would be responsive to letting you do stuff, or was it just obvious?
Oh, well, I just remembered, I did actually ask a question of most clinics. I'm somewhat interested in horse dentistry.
Okay.
It's a bit random, but the couple of times I've done it on placement, I'm like, this is really cool. This is like, you know, all horses need dentistry. You know, if a horse goes its whole life without having its teeth done, it's probably not in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been interested in kind of improving on that. My clinic doesn't do a lot with horses. There's just not that many, I guess, larger horse arenas in the area. So they don't have, you know, like a power float or, you know, any kind of fancy horse dental equipment. And I asked about that and he said, well, look, if you think that in the future you can grow that side of the business, then we could definitely look into it. Mm-hmm. And I wholeheartedly believe them, because so far anything that anyone's wanted to do, it's like, well, do you have the client base for it? Do we have the patients for it? Yeah, okay, cool. So
yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. That's really good. I'm so glad that you found a good clinic. And there are lots of phenomenal clinics out there, and I think that's another thing that new grads need to know. And sometimes, you know, they do their day interview, they ask all the right questions, and I've been in places where you go for the interview, everything seems great, and then it's not. So, you know, you can get a feel first day, but people can also fake it first day. So, you know, even if you do everything right as a new grad and go into a job and you don't like it, that's not every clinic. So I think the fact that you love your job, have a supportive job, have a really good boss, I'm so glad that you found a place that is going to suit you and do all of that, and just the fact that that exists, and for other new grads to know that if you're not in a place that's being supportive, if you're not in a place that's being progressive and being, you know, a team environment that you want, switch jobs. These great jobs do exist, and you don't have to go 14 hours away to find them. But
it is true, because most of my final year placements, actually all of them besides one, like, I chose them specifically because I thought, like, through talking to people on the phone and through contacts and stuff, that they sounded like the perfect clinics. And it's like how you did. You'd, you know, go to clinics that you thought might be potential for a job.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, all the ones I went to have just hired a new grad. But, there's tons of them out there, because 4 out of 5 of my final year placements were places I would have definitely accepted a job.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
Yeah,
that's awesome. So do you have any other tips or advice for, people finishing up their degree or in their fourth year, starting up their fourth year, in terms of recommendations of what they should do through their final year or through the interview and job hunt process?
As with the last point, don't just choose clinics because they're close to you, or they're convenient to get out to, or any of those things. Choose clinics that, from the sounds of them, you think maybe in future, maybe not as your first job, but even in past your first job, you might consider working at. Choose those clinics.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter about travel. You're only there for a month. Just go for it. Definitely go out and make the effort to meet as many people in the team as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone's there on, the couple of days that you might be visiting the clinic, but try and organise for a day when most people are, or a couple of days. Obviously 2 weeks would be the best, but if you only got a weekend, try and pick a good one.
Yeah, better than nothing.
I did nothing, exactly. Look through the scheduler. Because sometimes you'll see an ad, like on Kookaburra or whatnot, and it'll be like, for example, for me, it'll be like, 50-50, large, small, and then you go and you look at the scheduler and they see maybe one horse a week and that's it. So, definitely suss things out. Don't lose track of, your personal life outside of work, because, like I was saying, I kind of just going for the perfect job. And while I love my job, it has been quite isolating, and it's been hard adapting to a new place with no nearby support network and no easy access to friends and family and boyfriends and everything. Make sure that you're really, able to go that distance before you kind of get all, oh, yes, perfect job, Just assess, your position and where you'd like to be.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much. I think that's incredibly helpful, and I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us. I'm sure the graduates and final year vet students will also greatly appreciate your advice and experience. And I'm just so, so happy that you found a clinic where you're happy and doing well. That's awesome to see. And I'm glad clinics are being supportive. I think as more new grads and the younger generation are coming through and saying, no, we want this, we want this, we want this. And like you said, if you're in a clinic and you want to do something, or you feel that there's a place where there's equipment or tests or whatever in the job, just ask your boss, because they might just say, yeah, sure, we can do that. it never hurts to ask. So thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. And thank you everyone for tuning in and listening to us chat. And we'll see you next time.
No worries. Thanks, Anne.